vehicle. So I've got his Bible. He's got my Bible. But that's just how it worked out. Anyway, when I started praying about what the Lord would have me to share, and he goes, well, what's been happening in your life? You know, you can only share what's going on with you. Because if it hadn't gone on with you, what do you know about it? Right? So one of the things, the title of this is The Seed, The Soil, and The Reaping. And as you look at Arkansas right now, I mean, it's blooming. Arkansas is so pretty. It's a beautiful state. There's little yellow flowers. I had to ask Ernie what they were. And he said they were called yellow hops. And they're a weed, and they're not any good. The cows can't eat them. They're pretty to look at, but they don't do anything that's good. And then we got those dandelions, and they're not any good either. But we have those too. But then we've got our morning glories that bloom, and we've got daffodils that bloom, and they're real pretty. And I found out that snapdragons keep deer out of your garden. And there's other things that keep deer out of your garden, but I didn't know about snapdragons. But anyway, I've got some seed here. And I know we've got some sowers here because I saw my brother out in his garden working. That would be Larry. So I'm going to come to him and give him his pick of seeds. And I'm sorry, Larry, these are not vegetables or fruit, but they're pretty. Pick you out one.
Oh, man. Which do you want?
Whatever you want. A daisy. He's a daisy of a fella. All right. Now, I know another brother that's a sower. I'm going to come to him. That's my Larry, my Mary, and my Ernie. Pick you out what you want. All right. Morning glories. We got another planter, a sower? Oh. Pick you out one, brother. Bachelor buttons. Now, I'm going to go over here for a minute because Casey is in the process of selling her house. She's going to have a new house. She's going to have some flowers there. Casey Renee, open your door, hon. She's in the bathroom. You pick one out then, baby girl. Pick whatever you want. A bachelor button. Who else plants? Up there? All right, I'm coming. I'm getting my exercise. Pick you out one. All right. All right, now I'm going to give these to people who just need them. This guy sows some other seed. I know he sows the word too, don't he? Let me see. Which one you want, sister? All right. You want one?
Yeah.
All right. Now, I picked these flowers out. All of them have special meaning to me. The bachelor buttons was my mother's flower. We always had those in our yard when I was a kid growing up. She planted them. I think it's because she couldn't kill them. And they were easy for her to raise. Daisies are a flower that were in my wedding. I had daisies and roses. Then morning glories, I was telling Bella, they're cool. They get up every morning and open up and praise the Lord. Then they close up. So the next morning, praise the Lord again. So that's what they mean to me. But they're pretty flowers. They may not serve any purpose except to glorify God. But that's okay. So, let's get started here. Seed is essential for life. You have to have the essential element for something to grow. And that's what seed is. So you have to have that. I noticed Brother Larry's out there in his garden. He's working hard in that garden. Angelo just planted field corn. He had to get out there in his tractor and turn that dirt over and get it ready. And he was talking about putting some sort of ash out there. And then he had to sow the corn. And so there was some preparation for the soil, just like Larry had to do with his garden. And Brother Ernie, Mary was telling me he had to do his twice because so much rain. So there's some preparation for the soil to receive the seed. And the reaping, you won't see that for a while. You can put your seed in the ground, like there's corn out in our back pasture right now, but I can't see it. But sure enough, if we wait long enough, there's probably going to be some field corn. So here's the deal. Actually, though I didn't give you guys, all of you, a bunch of seed, all of us are sowers, whether we realize it or not. Now, we sow in word, in deed, and in thought. And one of the things that happened just recently to me is I got a call from somebody that I love very much, and they're going through it. They're in a low place. It's not happening to them, but it's happening to someone that they love. You know what I mean? So they're in a low place. And I told her, I said, you know what I've learned about when you're in a valley in a low place? I said, I've been there. Here's the deal. Mount Magazine is the tallest point in the state of Arkansas. But if you go up there, the trees don't grow very big. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that, Casey? They don't get as big as down here. And what the Lord ministered to me about that is, you know, daughter, the reason why the trees grow bigger here is because they're reaching for the sunlight. Have you ever seen a tree here turned over from the wind? Sometimes the roots are even bigger than the tree. Because those roots go deep. They got to hold up to a storm. So the roots grow deeper and the trees grow taller in the valley. They're reaching for the sunlight. But down on the up on the hilltop, not so much. They don't grow as big and their roots don't grow as deep. And the spiritual meaning behind that is when you find yourself in a valley, reach for the sun. I was telling, we went to a wedding Friday. I wasn't even invited. I was a wedding crasher. I was there to be Kelly's bodyguard. I was going to protect her in case one of her enemies come up to her. So I think I had her sitting on the end like she is now, and I sat beside her so no one could sit next to her, okay, as her protector. But no one came, and no one bothered her, and we were good to go. We just got to enjoy the wedding. So I was telling Kelly on the way there, I said, we went to a place called Hagerville. I've been to Hagerville. But if you blink, you'll be through Hagerville. But I said, you know, I could not afford the luxury of negative thinking, Tommy. I could not let people plant things into my life when I was going through it, when I was in that valley, that was negative. Amen. So a lot of people didn't know I had a diagnosis of cancer. People at my job didn't know. They just knew Millie was taking off for 2 weeks. She was going to have a surgery. And I didn't tell them what for. So they didn't know. Because some of those people, some of them are believers, but some of them aren't. And I didn't know where they were in the Lord, so I didn't tell them. Now, I told all of you because I knew where you were at. You know what luxury is? The luxury of negative thinking? Luxury is what you can do in your spare time. Let me tell you something. Here on earth, we don't have any spare time. There's no spare time. You don't have the luxury of negative thinking. So you have to be careful who plants in your life.
Amen.
I was in a church, and I won't mention the name, Mary, and they laid hands on me, and they started saying some bad stuff. I backed up from that, and I sat down. Because I thought, I don't want any of that to take root. So you don't have the luxury of negative thinking. You know, I've seen chimpanzees doing that. Now, people on tape are going to wonder what I was talking about. But we'll leave that a secret. You have to come to church if you want to know. So let's look at the Word. Now, in the Word, Christ is described as seed. And the Word of God is described as seed. I told that person I was talking to, I said, you know, what you need to minister to that person that you love is they don't have enough of Jesus in them. You got to have enough Jesus in you that you love to say no when certain things come up. Because if you love Jesus, you're not going to do certain things. You're going to check it out with Him first. Now, if there's not enough love of Jesus in you, you may do things you're not supposed to. So, tell them they don't have enough Jesus in them. I said, then, tell them get that Word in them. Put it in their house. Get one of them Bibles on tape. Start flooding that household with it. Because that Word will take root. I had every morning before our Bible study, I'm usually the first one at the table at my home for Bible study. It takes those men longer, believe it or not, to get ready than me. So while I was going through this, I usually would spend time reading healing scriptures, planting them in my spirit. And I would keep them with me all day long. And I would plant them. I had them under the mat in my desk. And I would plant that scripture all the time. Let's look at Galatians 3:16. God gave the promises to Abraham and to his child. And notice that the scripture doesn't say to his children, as if it meant many descendants. Rather, it says to his child. And that, of course, means Christ. We don't notice that very often about Abraham. We think of him in terms of Isaac and Ishmael and his descendants. But here we see, it's talking about Christ and what it means, what Abraham had that he planted was faith. He believed that what God said he would do, that he would have a child. And he took that and he planted it. Now, his wife got ahead of him, and she tried to help God out. God don't need no help. He can do what he says all on his own. He don't need your help. So let's look at Romans 4:13. Clearly, God promised to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was based not on his obedience to God's law, but on the right relationship with God that comes by faith. The right relationship with God that comes by faith. That's what he planted. He had a relationship. You know what the good seed is? It's a right relationship with God that comes by faith. And we are all, if you are a child of God, then you are a descendant. Okay? Abraham planted faith in what God said he would do, Abraham's seed was faith in Christ, who he never even saw at that time. I haven't seen him either, but I believe in him, Mary. I believe what he says he will do. I'm a child of God. I'm a descendant. I am his daughter. So are you. You're a son. You're a daughter. You're a daughter. You're a son. Amen. We are his descendants in faith. You have to, though, prepare the soil. Poor Larry, he's out there sometimes at all hours, early in the morning, late at night, tending that soil, taking care of it. And I'm sure if you're a farmer or you plant a garden, you are in there tending the soil. We had a man that was our landlord in Patterson, California, Mr. Morante. We lived in an apricot orchard. He'd be up real early in the morning with a lantern, walking up and down the aisles of the orchard with that lantern, seeing if there was frost. Hi, Evan. Hey. Hi, sweetie. He'd walk up and down that orchard, see if there was going to be a frost. And if there was going to be a frost, he'd put out smudge pots. He was protecting the seed and the trees that he planted. And there were certain times he irrigated, certain times when he pruned, he's taking care of it. As are we with our children, planting that seed. Now, let's look at Luke chapter 8, verse 4. Maybe not. Let's see. Chapter 8. Let me get there. Luke chapter 8, let's look at verse 5, there we go. A farmer went out to plant his seed, and as he scattered it across his field, some seed fell on the footpath where it was stamped on, and the birds ate it. Then to the next one. Other seed fell among the rocks, and it began to grow, but the plant soon wilted and died for lack of moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns that grew up with it and choked out the tender plants. Still other seed fell on fertile soil. This seed grew and produced a crop that was 100 times as much as it had planted. When he said this, he called out, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Next one. The disciples asked him what this parable meant. He replied, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God, but I use this parable to teach the others so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. When they look, they won't really see. When they hear, they don't understand. This is the meaning. The seed is God's word. The seed that fell on the footpath represent those who hear the message only to have the devil come and take it away from their hearts and prevent them from believing and being saved. You know, Pastor was talking about people having an umbrella over them. You know what? It's their soil. They weren't prepared. The soil wasn't ready. Next one. Okay, that's it. So, That's the next verse. The seeds on the rocky soil represent those who hear the message and receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they believe for a while and then they fall away when they face temptation. Have you ever met a person, man, you thought they were saved. You thought they was hooked up with the Lord. But when temptation came, they opened the door. That's why they got to have, that's why I said you have to have enough love in you of the Lord so that you don't even open the door. Because there'll be a Holy Spirit telling you, don't do that. You don't want to go there. And you won't open that door. Leave the door shut. I was telling Kelly that the other day. I said, some people open up the wrong doors. All right, let's look at the last verse, number 15. And the seeds that fell on the good soil, so there's good soil and there's bad soil, represent honest, good-hearted people who hear God's word and cling to it and patiently produce a huge harvest. So if you ask me to pick out a garden spot, you have asked the wrong person. But if you ask my brother over here, my brother back there, they'd be able to go to your yard and tell you what was the best spot. The same thing here. The Holy Spirit will lead you to good soil. Someone that's ready to receive the word. Some people, you can plant all day long, but they're just not ready. You got to let the Holy Spirit draw them. All right. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians 15:33. This is what else happens to some people. Don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character. Sometimes people hang out with the wrong people. Have you noticed somebody that hangs out with the wrong people? Maybe they hang out with a cusser. Before you know it, they're cussing. And you're wondering, well, I've never heard them say that before. It's because they're hanging out with people that do that. Or people that practice evil and they buddy up to them. Well, before you know it, that's what they're doing. Bad company corrupts good morals. And this is a hard thing when we have peer pressure with our teens, because they'll put it on you. Aren't we supposed to love everybody? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Yes, yes, you are to love everybody. But they're not to be your best friends if they're in the world. Okay? Because they may corrupt you. They're putting seed in you, whether you realize it or not. I told Kelly, I said, you know what? I marvel at sometimes how much of my mother I see in me. I said, I lean on the grocery cart the same way she does, or did. Because she planted in me. People that are close to you plant in your life. And sometimes people that aren't so close will say hurtful things, and you take that in, and it becomes planted and rooted. You can't receive negative things. You don't have luxury time. This is all the time you got here on earth to do the sowing. Angelo asked me the other day, he goes, you know, since this has happened to you, Millie, I notice you tell me that you love me a lot more than you used to. And I said, that's because I realize all I got is this time to plant that into you. So you know. Look at Philippians 4:7. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ. Your heart and your mind is part of your soil. And people will plant in there every chance they get. Do not receive things that are not from God. Only receive that which is God given. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 9. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. I know a famous person. I don't know her personally because she's famous. But when I'm at work on my computer every morning, quotes pop up. And this famous person's quote was, "True integrity is doing what is right. True integrity is doing what's right when no one's looking. True integrity, what the Word says, is doing what's right because God is always looking. He is always watching. So here's the thing. What are you going to do with that? Are you going to do what's right? Even when you think no one's looking because God's looking? That's what you have to do. So let's continue reading that. Those who live only to satisfy their sinful nature will harvest decay and death from their sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit, to please God, will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, you will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Amen. Don't give up doing what's right. Plant the good seed in good soil. You'll have a harvest. And you'll reap the benefits. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 9 and 10. Last verse. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources, then produce a great harvest and generosity in you. That's his promise. He doesn't do anything halfway. He does it perfectly, full, overflowing. The other day I was talking to my sister-in-law and she goes, "Millie, you sound well. You sound like yourself again." I said, "God did so good." And that is what I have for you today. I want you to be mindful of the seed. Take care of your soil. And reap the harvest. Amen.
Well, amen. Wasn't that good? That was exactly what we all needed to hear. And when she was saying that, my heart really began to go out to the person that there's just been words sown into your life and they've hindered you and they've hurt you and you just keep replaying those things in your mind and you just, it's like that was planted in there and it still hurts to this day. And I would say to that person, God wants to heal you. He wants you to let those things go, those things that were set over you, those things that prick you still in your heart, those situations that affect you still today. He wants to do a new thing, and he doesn't want you meditating on that anymore because God has some things that he's going to plant into your life, and the old stuff isn't even worth considering anymore. And so that was an awesome, awesome word from Sister Millie. And we will not hold you up. If you'll stand, I'm going to say the blessing and we will be done for the night. And we've had a good day in the Lord. It's been awesome to be in the house of the Lord. And God has been so good to his children. And if you'll lift your hands, we're gonna soak up this blessing. We're gonna take it in. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And God, I thank you right now that the peace of God that passes all understanding is going into every heart right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that everybody walks in complete healing right now under the sound of my voice in every single way. And God, I thank you that this week is filled with your absolute provision, your absolute favor in Jesus' name. And we call it done. Amen.